This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Glad you could be with us today. Whether it's influenza, West Nile virus, or some other threat, public health is often in the news. Today, we'll take a look at the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Its mission is to improve the health, safety, and well-being of the community through prevention, collaboration, and regulation. We'll talk about the district's programs and services and get an understanding of how community public health districts are part of a larger network charged with preventing and dealing with disease, providing early diagnoses, and promoting healthy lifestyles. Listeners, I invite your telephone calls this afternoon for District Administrator Julie Pride. She is our guest today. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number, that number, 800-222-9455. Julie Pride is a licensed social worker. She joined the staff of the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District in 1995. Last November, she was appointed public health administrator by the agency's Board of Health. During her tenure at the CUPHD, she has worked on prevention of HIV, other sexually transmitted diseases, tuberculosis, other communicable diseases, and adult immunizations. Again, our guest is Julie Pride. And listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions, comments about public health. You're welcome to join the discussion. 333-9455 is the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, and toll-free 800-222-9455. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So could you give us here at the outset some sense of the services and programs? There are so many, but a sense of the services and programs the Public Health District offers the public.
Sure. At Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, we are broken into several divisions. We have the Division of Maternal and Child Health, and that holds the WIC program, or the Women and Infant Children Supplemental Food Program. We have we also have the Division of Wellness and Health Promotion. They have the Illinois Breast and Cervical Cancer Program. They have the dental program under them. We see all children 18 and under in our dental program for kids in Champaign and Urbana. We have, in Wellness and Health Promotion, we also have smoking cessation programs, diabetes programs. We have a teaching kitchen in there where we can work to work with new moms or people with certain diseases to help them learn how to shop and cook more healthfully. We have the CATCH program out of that division, and that's a program working in the schools to try to make wellness a part of children's everyday lives. We have a division of infectious disease prevention and management, and that's the one that I had worked in prior to becoming administrator. There is the HIV Care Consortia program in there. Right now we have services for, we have about 320 clients in 17 counties that we work with. We have the HIV counseling and testing program. We have STD programs and services. Communicable diseases, which are diseases that are reportable by physicians' offices and emergency rooms, hospitals, places like that, which we follow up on. We have a TB program, which I had always hoped would be gone by the time, while in my career, but it is actually growing exponentially, it seems. We also have an infectious disease. We also have the mobile programs, which are two mobile units that go around and offer our services throughout the community. Our earliest program begins at 5 in the morning, and our latest one ends at 2:30 a.m. So that's a busy program. Then we also have the Division of Environmental Health, and what they do are the food programs, the restaurant inspections. They do basically food, water, and sewage. And they also do the vector control programs, which are things like West Nile virus and the tick monitoring programs, so that we can keep an eye on those illnesses that come from ticks and things like that. Also in wellness and health promotion, we have something called the Vision Cooperative. And that is basically anyone in Champaign County who is on Medicaid can come to our agency and we can hook them up with an optometrist appointment. And then we can get them glasses at no cost to themselves through the Medicaid program.
Okay. Boy, that's a lot. One of the things that you said that caught my attention is TB is growing exponentially. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, 15 years ago when I started at Public Health, there was kind of always this belief that TB would be something that would disappear. We wouldn't be needing to deal with that anymore. And we had one part-time nurse that worked on it, and she worked on TB a very limited amount of time. Right now, we have TB cases. We have more TB cases now than I ever thought. I believe right now we have almost 30 cases of latent TB we're following. We have active TB cases, pulmonary TB cases, which means that we have to do directly observed therapy with them, which is very labor intensive. We have to go out. We have to give them the pills, watch them take the medication, do testing of all their contacts. And it's just growing, 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 growing. We're now up to 1.5 staff doing that, plus pulling in teams all the time to help with the overflow.
Yeah. And is this a trend that is also going on, happening in the state of Illinois and across the country?
It is something that is, we are certainly seeing more of it all across the country. Illinois, we have a lot of international travel in Champaign, Urbana area, and so a lot of times people will come here with latent TB or they will come here with the active TB, and then that needs to be followed up with. And also, anyone who has a compromised immune system is more likely to go from latent to active TB. So there are a variety of factors that are affecting that. Unfortunately, many years ago, we did away with the TB levy in Champaign County, so there's never been any money to follow that increase in caseload. So that's starting to become a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. The other thing that you mentioned that I thought was kind of interesting is that it sounds like Public Health is working beyond sunup to sundown. What's going on at 2:30 a.m.?
Well, our mobile clinics will go out. The whole point of the mobile program is to get our services to people when they can access them the best. And we are oftentimes outside of bars. I can tell you that at one point we had an increase in syphilis in a population, and we took the mobile unit out to the bar, and we were there testing all throughout the, you know, from 11 o'clock at night till 2 in the morning. At 5 in the morning, we go to some of the day labor places like Labor Ready, and we will be out there to offer testing services. And in the past, we have provided lunch bags with a lunch in it and water for the people to take with them after they test. So, you know, we really just try to find out. Everything is based on specifically what we're looking at. So we are very fortunate at CU Public Health District to be able to be very flexible, which is really what you need in public health, because you have to be able to constantly change up your staff and your programs to meet whatever situation is occurring. And, you know, we've been in the news, of course, recently with the H1N1 influenza. Mm-hmm. We have been in the news with the TB case that required a lot of extra staff time. And there are just different things that pop up, and you have to be ready to adapt your resources, which in our case is, you know, staff and what we have available and finances to deal with that.
And it also sounds like where the need is, you actually physically go there. You don't wait for people
to come
to you.
That is correct. That has been a really effective way to reach who we need to reach.
Yeah. Now, who is eligible for these services and programs?
Well, every program is different. As far as the main core public health services, which are water, sewage, and the food inspection, we do that throughout the county. The main thing with that is how you need to look at public health is as a big net trying to prevent a lot of things. And public health is just one piece of that. We we are sort of the central hub for the doctors and the clinics and the different places to report to, so that we know kind of what's going on, and we always can keep an eye on it so that we can go jump on any hot spot or any situation we have. So with those services, everyone receives those equally. We're inspecting all the restaurants, and we're inspecting all the, you know, programs like that, and keeping an eye on any type of outbreak. Same thing with communicable disease. We always keep an eye out on all that. With other programs, they're very specific based on whether they're how they're funded. Like if they're funded through a grant, the grant will have restrictions. If it's funded through Medicaid reimbursement, obviously you have to be eligible. So a lot of services, everyone in our entire community benefits from it. They just might not realize it.
Yeah. And where are you located? What are your hours? Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, outside of the things that you're going out into the community, you do have some offices. Where are you and what are your hours?
All righty. We are located at 201 West Kenyon Road in Champaign. That is the old Colwell Systems building. We are extremely fortunate to have this building. It is a beautiful building that's been remodeled for us. For the first time in the history of CUPHD, we have enough office space. We have enough room for expansion. We have people renting space from us. We have other services, allied services that can work there, and we have ample parking. Our building is absolutely beautiful, and I encourage people, if you have not had an opportunity to check out Public Health, come check it out. You won't believe all the things that are happening there. We are open on a regular, our basic hours are 8 to 4. A lot of the programs run until 5, some run until 6, depending, you know, if it's an STD clinic, one of those on Tuesday runs until later. So that's our basic, you know, core hours. And then if there is any type of outbreak or something like that, we will be out and working, whether it's a Sunday, whether it's in the middle of the night, it doesn't really matter. But our main physical space is there, and then we also have a satellite office in Rantoul. And little known to a lot of people, we have the Urbana School-Based Health Center. And that is a collaboration that's located in the Urbana High School. And it is a collaboration between Francis Nelson and us in Mental Health Center and of course, the Urbana School District.
Well, tell us a little bit about the work that you do with other community organizations, including schools, other public health, other providers, mm-hmm. health providers.
Well, we have a lot of collaborations in this community that we're a part of. We have staff that sit on all kinds of different task forces and things to deal with different situations or diseases or safety-related issues. But some of our biggest partnerships, we work wonderfully with the hospitals. We work with them a lot in the clinics. We work with Francis Nelson a lot. We work with Head Start. One of the, I think, very exciting things that we're going to be doing with, we do the dental sealants and things like that also. Mm-hmm. We work with Smile Healthy, which works in the county. But one of the exciting things that we're doing is working with local farmers, and we will be having farmers markets in our parking lot during August so that people who receive WIC coupons and people who receive the farmers market coupons can leave their appointment, go right into our parking lot, do their shopping, and go home. And they'll have more access to healthy foods right there.
Okay, and that's on Kenyon Road then?
Mm-hmm, that's on Kenyon Road.
Okay, very good. You mentioned the farmers markets. This is an issue that's received some attention locally. Mm-hmm. Late this spring, there was a change in the regulation of baked goods sold to the public at farmers markets. I mean, in terms of the, I guess you would call it, the enforcement mm-hmm. of a regulation. Why the change? What was the change?
Well, the change was basically that Champaign-Urbana Public Health District started following the 10-year-old rule. that's essentially the change. I can't tell you why it wasn't followed, but as we are going through things, we are always going to err on the side of following the regulation. If they want to change the regulation, then we will follow the new regulation. But as we find things that maybe weren't done properly in the past, we're going to do that. And this was one of those situations, and the timing was unfortunate, and I apologize profusely to the people that it did impact. I think almost everyone was able to go ahead and get their commercial kitchens, and they're all still at the farmers markets. But the timing was unfortunate, but we just happened to have an outbreak that we were dealing with of the norovirus up at Lincoln's Challenge, followed right by something that was an outbreak of Shigella. So, you know, oftentimes things like that will get in the way of the best plans. And that's kind of what happened there. And it was unfortunate timing. And we really worked hard to make sure that our staff were available to go out in the evenings and indeed at night and get the kitchens certified and up to speed before it was time to open the market. Yeah. So it worked.
What's the situation across the state with farmers markets and baked goods?
Well, it's just exactly like it is here now. I mean, baked goods must be made out of a kitchen if they are sold, if it's part of a business. And we, Champaign-Urbana, was the only one not following that rule. So indeed, farmers who used this, who now are following the rules, can also go to Danville and Decatur and Charleston and other places to sell their goods as well, because that's the law and that's how they enforce it every place, except for some reason, Champaign.
But now Champaign.
Now Champaign does it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we're all up to speed, and everyone was able to get going, and the farmers market really didn't look any different than it ever has when it opened.
Yeah. Now, there's been some interest on the part of some area state representatives, Bill Black leading the charge. Yesterday, he issued a release saying he and Representatives Naomi Jacobson and Chapin Rose will be forming a task force to review the current situation with the goal of eliminating, in the words of the release, unnecessary restrictions on sales of baked goods at farmers market. What's your opinion on the restrictions that are now in place? Are they necessary or unnecessary?
Well, I don't know that I have an opinion on whether they're necessary or unnecessary, but I do know that they are the law, and therefore that's what we need to enforce. If they want to change the law, then we would certainly enforce the new law. I would prefer, my own personal thing, that they would spend their time finishing the budget, because, you know, that is very concerning to us right now. And a lot of, not just public health, certainly a lot of agencies are very concerned about that.
What is your budget situation in terms of the state? Do you get funds from the state of Illinois? And big a share does that represent in your budget?
We get a lot of grants from Illinois Department of Public Health and Department of Human Services. So any cuts certainly are concerning to us, but we, we are able to get local taxes, and we have a contract with the county to do services. So, you know, it's not something that we look forward to, but we're pretty happy right now in that Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, through these tough economic times, has been doing okay.
Yeah.
We've been doing okay. We haven't had to furlough or lay off or any of the things a lot of other places are doing, and we would like to keep it that way.
Yeah. I've got a couple of listeners who are waiting to talk with us, so maybe you'd put your headphones on. And before I get to these calls, I've got a couple of quick questions. One of the things that Representative Black suggested is maybe on baked goods, a label saying, you know, this was not prepared in a commercial kitchen. In other words, you know, swim at your own risk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think about that. That, again, I guess what you said earlier about if the law changes, mm-hmm. you will enforce the law.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I wanted to ask is, given the recession, have you seen an increase in demand for services, whether they be in the WIC program or mm-hmm. whether they be in wellness,
yes,
so on and so forth?
We have seen definite increases in a lot of our programs, certainly WIC. We have seen people coming in for more of the smoking cessation with the cost of cigarettes, and we are thrilled about that, because the more people we can get to do that, the happier we'll all be. We are also seeing increases in our dental program and our vision program, which means that there is an increase of eligible people on Medicaid. So, yeah, we're definitely, seeing an increase. And we're doing a lot more. We are having to do a lot more because of the TB increases and also because of the the pandemic situation that we're getting ready to go into.
Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. This is the Afternoon Magazine, Public Health, our topic this afternoon in this portion of the program. Our guest is the District Administrator for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, Julie Pride. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions, comments, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. Let's take a call from a listener in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Hello. Oh, Ms. Pride, this is really an interesting program. I'm so glad to hear what the health district is doing in detail. I've got a couple of questions. One is pretty simple. What's the exact location on Kenyon Road? Is it west of Prospect? Is it west in? Is it between Prospect and Neal? Where is it?
We are right off of Neal Street.
Okay.
If you're heading north, we are kind of at the intersection of I-74 and Neal Street. So if you turn left on Kenyon, which is the frontage road, we're right there in the old coal well system. You know where the
Which way from Neal? Then is it west or
it is west off of Neal? Right there. It's right by the Gateway Studios hotel.
Fine, that's fine. I know where it is now. Okay. The other thing is that since we hear so often that obesity is such a big problem for public health, and I noticed that you do have the smoking cessation you just mentioned, that do you have a specific obesity programs? I know you have for people with diseases like with diabetes, but how about people who don't yet have diabetes?
That is an excellent question. Yes, we do. Obesity prevention is going to be the number one thing that I believe public health will be working on in the future. We work with the CATCH program, which is catching kids when they're little and working to encourage them not to become obese, and certainly the ones who are to work on losing weight and getting regular exercise. We work with seniors, we work with all kinds of people, and a lot of what public health does is we will collaborate with other organizations in the community to get our message out at the same time, like whether it's at the Y or the park districts or whatever. But the Y, park district, places like that are also a big part of public health. And that's why it's so important to support those type of agencies, because they are really doing a lot of the work. I'm so happy with the park districts and their walking paths. I am especially happy about the paths because I have a son who's in a wheelchair, and it is absolutely wonderful. Mm-hmm. We can go to any of the parks and get all the way around it. And, you know, walking is a very simple and very important component of staying healthy as far as obesity prevention. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure. Thanks for the call this afternoon. Next, we go to a listener in Champaign on line two. Hi.
Hi. I know of Champaign-Urbana Public Health since they were back on Healy Street 100 years ago. But right now I'm looking at my real estate tax bill, and my tax bill this year was $1,964, and of that, only $28.34 went to public health. I'm glad to hear that the Park District is the work of the Park District is also supplementing your work, because that was probably about five times as much. I have two questions. One is, how do you supplement the monies you get from the state and from real estate taxes? Do you have grants? My second question is that way back in those days of public health on Fifth Street, there was a big program of outreach to seniors, especially those with chronic diseases, a lot of home visits to people who were essentially homebound with high blood pressure, diabetes, et cetera. And I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you that, yes, we do get a small amount of the taxes. If you look at your bill, public health does receive a very small part of that. And I really think some of that is that people don't understand what public health is and what we do. Usually, if public health is doing their job, you really don't know a whole lot about them because you're not getting sick from eating in restaurants. You're not getting sick from food and waterborne type outbreaks. You're not having communicable disease spread unchecked. We're trying to get people immunized. We're trying to work to teach kids how to prevent illness. So that is part of it. And certainly we have no choice but to, because of tax caps and things, we look for other sources of money. And we're unusual at Champaign-Urbana Public Health District in that about 60% of our budget comes from grants and contracts. And that's a very high percentage. But I learned early on in the division of HIV that if you want to expand, you better look for your own money. And we did that. And certainly my predecessor before me did that. And that is what you have to do. And we will continue to do that. Look for all kinds of partnerships, collaborations, and things like that. Regarding the visiting nurses type of program, the office, area office on aging, and some of the home care agencies take care of the visiting in the homes for the seniors. What Champaign-Urbana Public Health District does the home visiting for are the maternal and child health type programs. And we are a piece of a vast network of places that work in the community. So that is who does that. That is who is licensed to do that. Recently, the health departments were pretty much got out of that all across the state. Very few do that visiting nurse in the home for seniors and chronic diseases anymore. So,
does each county or metropolitan area in Illinois have a public health organization like the CUPHD?
Well, we're a little different in that we are a district, and three places in the state have a district. We contract, the county contracts with us for services, so the entire county is covered. But most all of Illinois is covered by public health of one sort or another. The interesting thing about public health districts and public health departments is that they're all local and they're all completely different. We all do the same core services, which is the food, water, sewage, and communicable disease. But beyond that, it's strictly up to the health department and what their local needs are.
Okay. Let's take another call for Julie Pride, District Administrator for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Public health, our topic this afternoon in this portion of the afternoon magazine. Next, we go to a listener in Eureka, Illinois. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was wondering, I realize that among sexually transmitted diseases, AIDS seems to get a tremendous amount of attention still, but I have read or heard that the other traditional sexually transmitted diseases still are very widespread and climbing very fast. Is there any truth to that?
Thank you. That is an excellent question, and it is absolutely true. AIDS does get, it seems, the bulk of the media attention, certainly, but STDs are absolutely epidemic in some communities. There are illnesses or diseases like and infections like chlamydia, human papillomavirus, or what a lot of people call genital warts. And these can be, you know, very serious. They cause, chlamydia can cause infertility. It can cause pelvic inflammatory disease. It is a absolute huge cause of a lot of illness and suffering and infertility and lost time at work. We do a lot with STD prevention at Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. We not only do urine-based screening from the mobile clinics, we are outside of the high schools. We have, of course, the program, the STD clinics at our own agency. We will go do testing if there's any type of outbreak. We also do lots and lots and lots of educational activities, including we are on Facebook we have a character that was started by, well, the website was started by the U of I College of Nursing, and we created a character together called Karen For Ya. And so if you friend Karen For Ya on Facebook, Karen For Ya is actually a huge variety of people that may be on there to answer your questions. And Sometimes I might be caring for you. Sometimes it's a nurse. Sometimes it's a social worker, or it could be a doctor. It could be all kinds of people. But you're going to get accurate information, and it's going to be confidential, and you're going to get it in the setting that's the most comfortable for you, which is at your own computer. And we have right now about 250 kids on that page.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call this afternoon. Speaking of confidentiality, how do you protect the privacy of people?
Well, we do that through with STDs. I don't know how to explain this. It's just like a medical record. I mean, we certainly don't give out that information to anyone. The great thing we do with getting the results back, and let's say you're a teen or a young adult that likes to use your text message, we can text message you if you would like. We can email you if you would like, however is most comfortable for you to communicate. If you're a teenager and you want your results, we ask you how you want them so that we don't, call your home phone and something like that and cause a problem for you, because that's certainly not the issue. We also do, people always overlook this, but it's certainly not just teenagers we see for STDs. In fact, we have a growing population of seniors with STDs in our community, and we work with them through outreach as well as through our clinics.
Okay, very good. Let's take another call now for Julie Pride, a listener in Chicago on line one. Hi.
Thank you. In Chicago, we have a problem in the public health sector that seems to be underfunded and is also reflected nationwide in so many areas. For instance, I'm wondering if the jurisdiction between public health and environmental sometimes overlap in the case where so much contamination of water supplies and other things that are occurring would be impacting our public health in many, many ways. And I'm wondering if the general funding for each is balanced in any ways to deal with the problem, so that the way you wonder how short your general public health funds are. I know Dr. Whitney Young here in Chicago has commented on that, but I'm sure it needs more supplementation to really cover the amount of attention that we need to give to the problem.
Well, I certainly would never argue for more funding for public health, ever, or the EPA. And in Champaign-Urbana, there is some confusion on how the water systems work. Municipal water systems are covered by the Environmental Protection Agency, and public health would cover in the county, for example, if you have a private well. We would work with you on that, private well, private sewage. But in town, it is covered by the Environmental Protection Agency as far as regulation. So.
Okay. Does the listener want to follow up?
Then the matter of like smoking and alcoholism and so forth should become a public health problem too, but in another manner, a social situation too. So we see all these areas that impact our health. So say nothing of nutrition and so forth, but they are concerned, and we need more funding definitely. But it makes me think of the situation that I heard just recently. Broke the state funds are in California, and inevitably we'll each have to deal with the neighboring state's problems, because sometimes their problems affect our states. So mm-hmm. we're all bound together in this problem of dealing with health, and certainly it should be more recognized that the funds for it have to be coming up some way or other, just as much as the military demands its funds for its budget. Thank you.
Thanks for the call this afternoon.
Yes, and yes, thank you. I absolutely agree. I mean, health, we are on the prevention end of health, and I can tell you that prevention of all kinds of diseases or conditions or illnesses, prevention is extremely cost-effective when compared to any type of treatment. That is always, that is always the upfront goal, is you prevent as much as you can. And then I think when he brings up obesity, that is just the perfect thing. And nutrition and all that's tied in, and the drinking and the smoking and all of that. It's difficult to get people to change behavior. It's a very difficult thing. And really, when you're going to get something to change long term, a good thing to do is to have a cultural norm shift. Now, that is a very, very big order. And I can tell you that with the pandemic flu planning, for example, one of the things that we're doing is, and the way you prevent flu today is the same way you prevented it since the beginning of time. And your mother told you this, and your kindergarten teacher probably told you this. But you wash your hands. But you don't just wash your hands. You wash your hands a lot, and you wash your hands for 20 seconds at least. And then you dry them, and then you don't touch the dirty faucet, and you don't touch the dirty door on your way out. The second thing that you do is that you cough and sneeze, but you do not cough and sneeze into your hand like your parents taught you or your kindergarten teacher taught you, but you cough and sneeze into your sleeve. And so these are the things that we're teaching them, and we're also teaching them not to touch your T-zone. And if you draw a thing above your eyebrows, draw a little line down your eyes, up to your nose, and down to your chin, that's a T. So these are things that we're going to do. And we're actually working, you know, nationwide, you're starting to see lots and lots of information about telling people it's better to cough and sneeze into your sleeve. What's going to have to happen there is a cultural shift. Just like, you know, when we were kids and we rode in the car without our seatbelts on, indeed, maybe chucking trash out of the window because that didn't seem to be a big deal back then. Now that's unheard of. If you were to do that today, somebody is going to feel compelled to tell you, hey, that is not acceptable. And the same thing is what we're doing, what we have to get people to understand, that it is not okay to go to work when you're sick. That's not okay. If you have a fever, that's not okay. You're not a hero. You are a carrier of an infectious disease. Stay home. And it's not okay to just sneeze out into the open or cough out into the open. Do it in your sleeve, and then you won't be spreading germs everywhere. And it's one thing to say that when it's a cold. It's another thing when it's something that could be potentially life-threatening. So we have people's attention right now. So if we can get them to start doing these hygiene practices in Champaign County, we should see a significant decrease in the other things that we deal with all the time, like the diarrheal outbreaks and the other colds and flus and things that go around.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about influenza. Mm-hmm. When concerns began to arise about H1N1, also known as swine flu, how did the district begin to ready itself for a possible outbreak? Or could you say you were already ready?
Well, I can tell you that we have been preparing for this for years. Since the funding originally came for bioterrorism-related stuff back in 2002, I worked in infectious disease then, and although they were telling us to prepare for a potential of smallpox or some bioterrorism thing, we were saying internally, well, we might not have smallpox or something that dreadful, but we absolutely are going to have a pandemic. So we knew a pandemic was coming. We did not know in what form that it would come as far as influenza, how deadly or virulent it would be. But we were prepared as far as we have started getting our internal plans in order. So in the past 3 years, we really ramped up our efforts. And that has to do with the fact that H5N1 or bird flu was quite the concern, because it has a fatality rate in the 60%. That's just completely unheard of. So, you know, God forbid something like that were to turn easily transmissible. That is what really terrified everyone. So in Champaign-Urbana, I can tell you what we did in the past 2 years alone. Well, 3 years. We have had a campaign called Stock2forFlu.com, or Stock2forFlu. What we're trying to get people to understand is that if we have a serious outbreak of a pandemic flu, whether it's deadly or not, that's irrelevant as far as the fact that you may be sick and in your home for 2 or 3 weeks, and you at your agency or your business may be working with 30 or 40% less staff. You need to think about that now, and you need to prepare for that now, because when you're in the middle of something like that, it's really too late. Mm-hmm. So you need to think about that. The other thing that we have done in Champaign County, which I am very proud of, is that we were one of two communities in the country selected by the Centers for Disease Control to go to a special training on readying your community for pandemic influenza. When we went to that in Indianapolis 2 years ago, we had extremely high participation. We had the clinics and the hospitals were both there, and the We had Francis Nelson there, and we had the police and the fire and the coroner and the emergency management and the cities and the county. Everyone was involved. Everyone came to the table. Everyone took it very seriously, and everyone has continued to prepare. So Champaign County is so far ahead of the game. It makes me very proud to live in this community. But the other thing, when we heard that Saturday night, when I was alerted via an email that, you know, the situation in Mexico might be getting of concern or something serious, I was able from my home to get on my email, send a message to my staff, and they had the website, the IT staff had the website updated that night, which is amazing. I mean, we had information about H1N1 on our website that Saturday night before the rest of anyone probably even heard of it. And then the other thing was by Sunday morning, I had called in our emergency operations team, our whole leadership team, the board and our legal met, and we were able to sit down and say that we're kicking our plan into motion before they ever even moved to a level four. They moved to a level four, and we were already there. So we're ready as we can be, and now it's up to the community to do their individual efforts to get themselves ready, because we do not know what's coming back to get us in the fall, but we do know that it's coming back in the fall and winter. We don't know in what form. No one knows in what form.
Okay, so we've got some time here to
do
the things that you just suggested. Also, maybe you should just mention or reinforce the idea that the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District has a website. And probably the easiest thing would be for people to just put in those words into their Google or another search engine and get there. So it sounds like that there is information there. So if you're a little concerned about what's going on or what you're reading in the news, you can go to your website and get some further information.
Yes, our website, which is c-uphd.org, or you can just type in Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. We have information on there and links to our other site, which is Champaign County Prepares and stock2forflu.com. You can print off ideas for when you go to the grocery store, things to stockpile. You can print off information about how to care for someone at home if they're ill. You can print off information about local resources. And also, if you work in an agency or someplace and you would like to hang a sign up, you can print out the information and hang it up in your office or your school or wherever.
Your lunchroom.
And when this hit, we were able to pull together all of our community partners, and we had a standing room only meeting that Monday. We had all of the players at the table from everybody from the schools to the cities to the county, everyone, fire police, everyone, hospitals were there. And Champaign County had the information out everywhere. You can't walk around this town without seeing the H1N1 sign. So we have a lot of community partners as far as agencies and stuff. What we need now are individuals and families to say, hey, if I have to stay in my home for 2 or 3 weeks to avoid getting this, am I going to be able to do that? Do I have enough food in there? Do I have enough stuff for my children or for my pets or for my elderly parents or whomever lives in your house?
Yeah. Let's take one more call now, a listener on a cell phone, line one, but we'll have to be quick. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was wondering about any cooperation you have with the school districts. I know that during the H1N1 outbreak, there were several schools that were still running truancy abatement programs where students were getting rewarded for coming into school, even if they were feeling sick.
We are working really closely with the schools, but the whole truancy abatement program, we'll be talking more with them on that. Just like anyone, I think if kids are healthy, they need to be in school, certainly. But we don't want anyone in there with fevers. We don't want anyone in there with vomiting or diarrhea or certainly any upper respiratory symptoms coupled with a fever.
Okay. And one last question. I want to thank the listener for his call this afternoon. And this involves schools and nutrition. Tell us quickly about the food program the district will be hosting through the Illinois State Board of Education this summer.
We are going to have a summer food program at our agency, so at 201 West Kenyon Road. And every day, children 18 and under, anyone 18 and under, can come into our building and have breakfast, lunch, and an afternoon snack. Breakfast will be served from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., and then we will have lunch served from 11 till 12. and an afternoon snack served from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Everything will be nutritionally balanced, and it will be served in. We have our lobby set up with tables. It's very festive in there. And while the kids are eating and enjoying their lunch and or their breakfast, surprise, they're going to be learning about how to keep germs from spreading.
And everyone will have washed their hands.
Correct, they will have.
What kind of demand do you anticipate for that, Julie?
You know, I hope we have a lot of kids that take advantage of this program. So if they live near public health, come on over. If they, you know, if there are churches involved around there and they want to bring a busload over, do it. I mean, we want to make this available. This is free to the kids, and it is going to be healthy food, breakfast, lunch, and a snack. So
okay.
Hope they use it.
Well, thanks so much for coming in and talking with us this afternoon. We'll have to have you back maybe this fall. We can talk about what lies ahead and what the district is doing. Julie Pride is the district administrator for the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District.